Are we ready to get started this morning? Amen? All right. John, who would you like to open in prayer?
All right. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for John and the message he's about to give, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you bless him, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move through him. Yes. And Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, all yours, John.
You know, on Sunday morning prayer, we're upstairs and we're praying for the church, for protection, for healing, for reconciliation, finances, a bunch of different things. And one of the things that we've been praying for is the gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, the gifts of the Spirit are an important part of the church.
Yes.
And today, what I want to talk about are what are the gifts of the Spirit and how can they become evident in the church today. Amen. Each and every believer, by the dwelling of the Spirit of God in us, has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many of us believe that?
Yep.
How many of us understand how it works? You know, sometimes that's the challenge, right? And it says so, though, in Acts 2:38, it said, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the gift of the Holy Spirit is not acceptable until we repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I trust that everybody in here has done that. But there are many people that still need to come to that point, because it is only the acceptance of Jesus Christ that allows the Holy Spirit to operate and dwell within us. What do we receive from that indwelling? Anybody want to?
Power.
Right on. Exactly. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I expected a lot of other things to come out, not directly to the power.
She's
anointed. That's right. She probably hacked into my computer and read everything I was doing. The Spirit led. That's right. She's got the power of the Spirit, so Spirit led will take her right there.
Right.
It is the power is the power of the Spirit to change ourselves and things around us that are in the will of God. Amen. It's not just the power to do what we want. We still have to follow the will of God, and that comes through His Spirit. The same power was in Christ that allowed Him to perform all of those miraculous deeds, and even in the apostles, in all of the miraculous things that they did, and everyone from there on, okay, that we have been given this power to operate spiritually. And if you think about that, we are operating with the Spirit of God, the God that created the universe. Everything that is in His will that we are following, we are capable of. And it says, and that's not an easy thing to really grasp, that we can do what Christ did. But you know what? Christ actually told us that in John 14:12. Jesus says, "We will do all that He has done and more." And in verse 12 it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things." Can we imagine ourselves doing greater things? Can you see yourself? You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Is there nothing that you can't do that Christ did, if Christ says that you are going to do it and can do it? So we're going to get to some of that, the causal factors, and we're going to look at a little bit of these things that will help us to kind of move forward into the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. So if we are going to do greater things and see more gifts of the Spirit, we need to constantly flow in the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? It says in Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do any of us need to grow in any of these? You know, can peace give us joy? Can long-suffering increase your faithfulness? Can gentleness lead to kindness and goodness lead to self-control? These are all interconnected, and especially love. Love can lead us into all of them. Amen? And it's very difficult sometimes, and I always harp on love a lot because I think it's the center of where we start. But we have to learn to love even those people that are unlovable to us. So we need to move in the Spirit. And the Spirit is always prodding us to develop these characteristics. How does He do this? How does the Spirit prod us into being more representative of the fruit of the Spirit? By putting us in situations that require us to really look at how we respond to things. By taking our actions and judging them against the fruit. When someone expresses the fruit of the Spirit, what do you think it says about them?
The Spirit is in them.
The Spirit's in them. Maturity, right?
Hold on. Say that again.
They're walking with the Lord.
They're walking with the Lord.
They're anointed.
Amen. All of that. But it means that we are becoming more mature. The more we are able to go through all of these, become part of all of these characters, we put these characteristics in us, it means that we are becoming more like Christ, that we are becoming more mature in the Spirit. You know, I always said maybe what we should do is take the fruit of the Spirit and post it up on the wall or put a sign up there, and every day we put one of the fruit of the Spirit underneath of it. This is what I intend to work on today. Because you know what? If you start to look at each one of these characteristics, and you can, especially the ones that are most difficult, you know, you're gonna be able to realize that, okay, I really need to work on this one. And if you're looking at it every day, you can come back to it and say, how did I do? And if you're full of the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, it is just fruit. It's not fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit that generates all of these characteristics in us. And so we need to really kind of work on making ourselves full of the fruit of the Spirit in all aspects, because that maturity will lead us into a stronger opportunity to perform the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are different than the fruit, of course. But just to give you a quick, the fruit of the definition or example, the fruit of the Spirit is an internal transformation of a believer, while the gifts of the Spirit are an external expression of that transformation. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're exuding all of the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, God can use a mature individual using His gifts. And that is the way I think that we can be sure that we are performing in God's will, when we are willing to put ourselves aside and then pray for these things. How many of us want to have gifts of the Spirit? How many of us would love to see the gift of the Spirit operational today? I mean, in the church in the beginning, I mean, after Christ had left, these gifts were just flourishing everywhere. And yet today we find that, you know, I think sometimes we get a little bit subdued with the idea. Matter of fact, some churches preach that some of these gifts are no longer valid, which I don't know how an individual can actually come from a position to say that God is no longer providing these gifts. I mean, who are we to tell God which gifts are going to be used and which aren't, right? It just blows my mind. And I was reading some of these articles on through this whole thing, and I just couldn't believe where they said that, well, that because it said their tongues will cease. Well, that was a comment that eventually they would maybe go away, but it doesn't mean we can declare when that happens. Amen? So, you know, I think we need to be open for any opportunity. I do know one time in the gift of tongues that there was a pastor who was a Baptist preacher who preached against the gift of tongue and said, you know, it was sin. And then all of a sudden he got it. He said it just happened on him, and he said, I had to believe because it happened to me, and I didn't even believe in it.
Yeah, the Southern Baptist Church kicked him off.
Yeah. I mean, so you got to realize that, you know, it's not us who's going to dictate. And I do believe, I'm not saying that we can do it the totally opposite and go overboard with it because we think that gift of tongues is the least of the gifts. But it is a gift, and it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has it at this point. It doesn't mean you can't get it. There's no gift that you can't pray for, and God wants you to have it because he thinks it's worth having for you. In that particular instance, that gift can be yours. And I believe that because you can operate by the Spirit. We can operate in all of the Spirit's power.
I know for me, when I'm going through, you know, we all go through valleys, and when I'm having hard times, I pray in the Spirit, and that's what gets me through, because sometimes I don't even know what to pray, but he knows, my spirit man knows what to pray. So when I pray in the Spirit, God is, I believe God uses that so mm-hmm. that we do know how, mm-hmm. so that we can hit the target in the center. Right. You know, because sometimes in the flesh we don't even know what to pray, especially when we're going through a real hard time.
Yeah.
And I think of that scripture, pray in the Spirit without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't believe that the tongues will ever come to an end because God will never come to an end.
Right. So. Amen. So here are the 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned by Paul. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, says, there are different kinds of spirits, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are at work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each just as he determines. So there you go. They're available to each and every one of us as the Spirit determines. And you know what? At any given time, there's some of you have several gifts that you are anointed with. Some of us may only have one. But the fact is that at any given time, if you're praying for something, that gift of the Spirit can be utilized and the Spirit will give that gift to you at that moment. And we just need to have trust and faith in God that at any time we need to have any type of gift, then he deems necessary, it will be given to us.
I like the first part you read there. We sometimes forget it. You read it, it's given for the common good. It's not for our benefit. It's a tool to be used for the body to help people that are in the body or people we want to bring into the body.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, that's further down, but I had... And it says, and so the purpose of the gifts are for the body of Christ to edify, strengthen, feed, exhort, and encourage, but ultimately to glorify God.
Yes.
Amen. It is not for us to boast. It is not for us to take it in And some people, and I think in the Corinthian church, if I'm not mistaken, Paul was given this, he was given this kind of a rebuke on the fact that they were elevating themselves by the gifts that they had, you know. And I always say that the greater the gift, the greater the servant. And even if you're an apostle or a pastor, a preacher, elder, whatever it is, the greater your title, if you want to call it a greater title, the greater the servant. Yes. Because we are here for the purpose of building the church. Yes. No, actually, I think, you know, the issue is not so much with the gift itself. And as a matter of fact, I'm hoping that maybe somewhere in here we can say, you know what, that individual has a gift of wisdom. Right. You know, go talk to them. And but that gift, the one who owns the gift, does not boast about it.
That's right.
That's, it's staying, you know, staying humble. Yes. If they have that gift, if people are waiting for that particular gift and that person has the gift of it, it's like Bob is prophetic, you know. I mean,
right.
Pathetic. Pathetically prophetic.
Yep.
That's right. That's right.
We had a pastor that used to come here and preach quite often, Tony Germano. Mm-hmm. He had a gift of healing. He was laying on his deathbed, dying of cancer, could barely move, and people were coming to him for prayer. He said, you know, at first it bothered me. You know, here I am. I can't even do anything for myself. But it dawned on me that it's not me anyway, right? If you have that kind of an attitude, yes, that's the kind of attitude that got. But make sure that person is, you don't believe that person has that gift because they say so. It has to be tried and true and mm-hmm. proven, right? That's all, but yes.
Yeah, it has to be acknowledged by the Spirit of God. And yes. I think that, yes. Yes. You know, and I think, you know, and that's the challenge for all of us. You know, as we walk in the Spirit of God, we can recognize the Spirit of God. And it's, we should always test everything because
yes.
we have a capacity to want to feel good, okay? We have a capacity to want people to be healed. And you know, and we can take our own desire and turn it into, I believe God wants you to be healed. Well, God didn't tell you that, you know. So we, even though that may be true, I'm saying that we just need to be careful that we're not encouraging somebody with something that's really not from God. It's only our own flesh that's really saying it. So it's a difficult place. I understand. It's almost like walking a maze to a degree. And I think that God did that for a reason, because the more things we bump up against, the more we need to seek him. And so that is what carries us through to the next section that gets us to the end.
Yeah.
And you've got to realize, you know, you think about, well, why didn't God show himself in all these things? But you know what? Lucifer was in heaven with God. And his pride said, I can be like him, and tried to overthrow God. So I believe that some cases, I think this whole process that we go through is, you know, if we prove ourselves here without seeing him, then we are worthy to be in heaven
yes.
with him.
Yes.
And so I think that's a challenge for us and something to think about. You know, when you're challenging God to say, well, why don't you do this? Why is this happening? You know what? All we need to be thankful for is the fact, and we've said this 1,000 times, is the fact that we've been promised eternal life.
Amen.
If you can focus on the fact that you have been given eternal life by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior,
yep.
then you have been given the greatest gift that you will ever receive in your life.
Yes.
And if you can get off of this focus stuff, of these little things that are interfering with your life, then you can be at peace and have joy. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? During the challenges.
I think you were asking about the fruits, and you were talking about they manifest themselves differently in different people. For mm-hmm. an example, it's a gift of teaching, right? Everybody that comes up here, I think we've got 12 teachers that come up here and teach. They've all got the same gift, but yet they all teach differently, don't they? Mm-hmm. So that gift works differently as it comes out because we're all different, right? That don't mean one is better than the other. That just means the way God is going to use that person, the way God has built that person, it goes through them. Esther?
I also think that sometimes a gifting can be used in you and you not realize that. I think that if you're put into a situation that God has allowed you to walk into, whether it's praying for somebody or giving them a word of wisdom, he's going to use you with any gift he chooses to do so if you're aligned with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think I have the gift of prophecy, but I remember prophetically speaking over a young man who came into this church, and the only reason I know that is because when I was done praying for him, the individual who brought him up asked me, did I know him? And I said, I've never met him before. And he said, it's only God that could have shown you all of that that you prayed for that was right on for what he needed to hear. And so, you know, those kinds of things, God uses us in any given moment as long as we're willing to be used.
Yeah.
As I said, we all have the power of the Spirit. And I'm one testimony to that is that when that day, I did not want to go up for prayer. I did not want to be on a prayer team. I was tired. My mood was bad. And I said, okay, I'll go anyway, but I don't want to be there. And God used me in a mighty way and actually changed my whole countenance for the rest of the day. So, you know what? It doesn't matter how we feel. God, if you're willing, God can use you and he can change you too.
Yes. Sometimes we get a couple things confused. You're absolutely right. You're talking about a gift, say a gift of teaching. There's also a gift of teaching as part of the fivefold ministry. Those are a little bit different. That's an authority that's giving over somebody. It's not just a gift. It's a gift, too, like we have Tony Germano come in. Or Tony.
I just mentioned him.
Yeah.
Ed Trout, forgive me, come in, right? We recognize him as a prophet to the church. He doesn't just have a prophetic gift. He is a prophet in the church, right? There's a difference. We can't all be prophets in the church, but we can all have a gift of prophecy. To mm-hmm. prophesy at a certain time as God gives us a mm-hmm. message. Every one of those gifts, every one of us could have at a certain time. But just kind of pull them back from the fivefold ministry, the same way the ministry of being a teacher, right? Now, John, he's a teacher. That's part of his, as an elder, part of the fivefold ministry here as a teacher. Kenny as well. And Ed just ran out of here. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have so many more that have a gift of teaching, but it's not an authoritative manner such as giving us some position in the church of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, as you just said, I was going to say that these nine gifts are not all-inclusive because we do have teachers and apostles and prophets that are gifts to the church. But also, you know, in the Old Testament, actually, there is a scripture that speaks to this as well. It says in Isaiah 11, 2 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. You know, I read that, and I'm saying, why would we delight in the fear of the Lord? Because if we love the Lord, actually, we know that that's our stopgap. If we end up fearing the things that we're doing, and that brings on the fear of the Lord, actually, we love it because it brings us back. We realize we need to get back to where we need to go. Amen. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. So should we desire spiritual gifts? Yes, absolutely. But what should we be cautious about? I think we talked about that. Taking it in and owning it as ourselves. We cannot brag about them. And we talked about the fact that what is the purpose of the gifts? The purpose of the gifts is to edify, strengthen, feed, and exhort, and encourage. So what is the first gift that was spoken there? The gift of wisdom. Wisdom supplied by the Spirit is different than wisdom supplied by the world. They come from two different perspectives. I mean, we know people who know all about the things of the world, right? And we sometimes can be impressed by the things that they know. I'm impressed by anybody who can do a trivia. I don't know one thing of trivia. I don't even know who Abbott and Costello were, if you ask me the question. But the thing is that we have the ability to have gift of wisdom on things that need to be done in the earth. But the gift of wisdom in the spirit is the knowledge that God gives you. It's the application of the knowledge that God gives you. Amen? Amen. And in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, 6-7, it says, God's wisdom revealed by the Spirit. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So we realize that this whole age is coming to nothing eventually. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So this has all been planned for those of us who have received the Holy Spirit, that we now have the wisdom to understand spiritual things. And that's where we want to take this wisdom. It's not about having the knowledge, power, or understanding of things here on the world, but now, and I can say that while I don't know every scripture in the Bible, I can't even repeat some of the ones I just read. But the fact of the matter is that because of the relationship I have with God, I feel comfortable, not totally confident, because I'm always leery and try to make sure that I don't try to presume anything that I have in my own head. But I'm comfortable understanding the direction God has given me through His Word. Whether it's a hard word or another word, whatever it takes that I might not understand, I'm comfortable that I can grasp it and move forward with it. You know, because there was one scripture, and I can't remember which one it was, but, you know, the apostles even said, well, how can we do this, anything, you know, because of what was spoken, what Jesus had spoken. And he said, with man's understanding, it's impossible. But with God's understanding, everything is possible. So, you know, we just need to realize that that's the kind of wisdom that you get when you grab the Holy Spirit and you say, I need to understand this, Lord. And if you really go back to the fact that you understand that God is love, then you can come from that perspective that God has everything that He needs. He's given you everything that you need. Even though the word may be tough, our flesh always wants to rebel against being told not to do something. Have you ever had you tell your kids not to do something? What is the first thing they do? Yeah. Are we, in our immaturity, any different? No. Even in our mature state, and you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. And I've got a birthday coming up, so I'm not going to tell you, but. But anyway, no matter how old you get, there's still some place where you can grow maturely. We are not fully clothed in maturity yet. It is a gift that cannot be gained through study or experience. Now, I say that, you know, wisdom, I mean, you can study the Bible. And how many people do we know have studied the Bible that still don't have wisdom? You know, we have people preaching falsehood in churches today, pastors and leadership that are teaching falsehood, and still, you know, they're reading the Bible. They're reading the same scripture we're reading. I just don't know where they've omitted the things that they don't want to accept. And we're just like anything else. We want to please people. So in order to please people, we start to twist and turn what the scripture is really saying, so that it no longer has any value. And Christ said that not one iota of the scripture will be changed. That's right. It is having a supernatural perspective from God's point of view. It's something because you can see clearly, or more clearly, I should say, when somebody is attacking you, what's the first response usually? To retaliate, right? You know, that's right. But you don't have to fight either. You don't have to do either. If you're standing there in Christ, you have a purpose now, because you see that if somebody is actually attacking you, there must be something that they're missing by the Spirit of God. As opposed to looking at what they're doing to you, you're seeing, how can I help them overcome their shortcomings? Not that we're prideful in what we're doing and we're not accusing them, but God gives us the words to speak at the right moment. And it's just like Jonah, when he was told to go bless the Ninevites, or tell them, you know, what they were to, that they were going to be destroyed if they didn't repent. Well, he didn't want to give them that opportunity, but he still had to go, you know. And the same thing for us. We have to do these things. We have to be able to see the purpose behind it. If we want, even our enemies need to be saved. Christ's enemies were all around him, and he did what he did for them. So we need to realize that, you know, there's compassion, there's humility. You know, that's why when we're talking about, you know, the first thing that happens to us, anger, in most cases, is always usually pride. I mean, unless you're angry because somebody is defacing somebody else, a brother or sister, anything, any attack against you usually comes from a position of pride, because you're going to defend. Nobody's going to tell me. I talk to many Christians in different places that I go to, and one of the positions they take is nobody's going to disrespect me, you know. Well, realize again that when somebody is not acting out of the Spirit of Christ, there's still growth. And if you've got that Spirit, if you've got all of that gifting, and now all of those, and you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and most of them, you can actually change somebody's heart. You can change, because it's not you. It's not even what you say. It's the willingness to be used by God, to be able to speak the words that God has already implanted. And that, matter of fact, that's exactly what I was going to say when I was talking about the Ninevites. Jonah had actually, he went with the word that God had already planted in the Ninevites' heart. It was already there for them to receive it. All he had to do was speak it.
For wisdom, and you got a gift to you, but how does that differ from a gift of wisdom?
What's that?
Asking for wisdom rather than having the gift of wisdom.
Well, a gift of wisdom, I mean, depending on what you're asking for, wisdom-wise. I mean, if you're asking for worldly wisdom, you know, that is something.
What I mean is, if you seek God and you ask for wisdom, he'll give you the fruit of it, or success, or a blessing, some degree of wisdom, information. Rather than having a gift of wisdom where you just, it's inside you and you can use that for a benefit, to benefit someone or yourself. What's the difference between asking for wisdom?
A lot of times the gift of wisdom is something that is actually a benefit for you and your clarity and your communication with God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see.
You know, it's more so for you to have that clarity with God, so that you can understand what the right course of action is here on earth. So while you're here, you receive the gift of wisdom, and therefore it is the things that God imparts to you allows that to be applicable around you. Now, it's not necessarily only for you personally, but it is something that you allow, that allows you to actually give to anybody who needs that wisdom and impart it to people by the Spirit. And that wisdom, that communication, that allows you to actually change a heart, and that's my belief. It allows you to speak the right words.
You're talking about wisdom. So many people think it's, you know, out there somewhere that you tap into it. You know, wisdom comes from knowing the Word of God.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, or the reverence, the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. So when a situation comes up, we think, what does the Word say about this particular situation? And that is the course I need to take. And that's wisdom, following what God has to say about it. Now, there are situations, Dwayne, where I had an example the other day. I had a guy come in here, and he was being faced with two options in his job. And both of them were really good. There's pros and cons in both one, you know, both job. And so it was like he came to me, doesn't belong to this church, but asking for, well, which one should I take? Which direction should I go? And I just laughed, and I said, well, I can't say, thus saith the Lord, go this way, and I'm not going to tell you that.
Right.
Okay. But let me tell you what you should do to kind of go down that list to know you're possibly in God's will. I said, number one, where's your wife stand? Which job does she want you to be in? Because there'll be an agreement there. I said, have you talked to other people? And there was kind of a 50-50 type of thing. So he went to people, and I said, well, you know, who are the people that you went to? And he started mentioning a bunch of guys that he worked with. I said, are they Christians? Well, no. Okay, well, why are you going to take their advice? All right? But you see how Christian, and he's a Christian. You know, I'm thinking, you need to go to your pastor. You know, he was smart. He came in here. And I said, let's kind of go down the checklist. And I said, when you're at that crossroad and you don't know, sometimes, you know, you make that decision, and I said, well, if you make a decision one way or another, you really don't feel, you know, these are the only two choices you have, and you really don't have a clarity. I said, you know, you just have to lay it at God's feet and just say, this is the decision I'm making. It says in Proverbs, what? You know, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your footsteps. Mm-hmm. Okay? So there's times we don't know which way to go. We're, you know, we're like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. You know, do I go this way or do I go that way? And some people go all the way. You know, and there are people that, I said, but once you make that decision, don't look back. Make that decision, commit it to the Lord, and he'll direct your footsteps. So, you know, and there's things that, and not that, like I said, I'm wise. I'm just pointing out things to him in the Word that, you know, you should. And then another thing I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you this. What position will you have influence with the people around you, okay? And the one thing that kept coming out of his mouth was this, yeah, but this job's easier. This job, you know, so you could almost tell which job he was leaning towards, you know? And then when I mentioned the other job, and I said, well, you know, if you take that one, there's going to be all this work. And then he kind of said, well, you know, I think I could handle it. I'm thinking to myself, no, you can't, because you come in here all the time telling me how overloaded you are with the job that you have now, and now to be in a position where you're leading everybody, you know, there's a whole lot more responsibility. But for us as Christians, you know, I want to tell people, find out what the Word of God has to say. Get those people that you know are walking with the Lord and walking right, you know, people that are close to you. And there's that's the stability. That's that good foundation to have. And then even then, when there's not clarity, sometimes you have to hold, and, you know, but in this guy's position, he had to make a choice pretty soon. You know, so.
You have to make a choice.
Yeah.
If you make the wrong choice out of the right reasons, God will close doors and redirect you, but you can't just stand there.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And something that you want so bad, and all of a sudden seems that door shut, if it's really God's will, he'll open it. So if you're really seeking God, he will shut that door, like you said, at the right time. You'll know. You'll just go, okay, well, this is not it.
You have to go in another direction, but a lot of us come, like you said, with our mind already made up. It sounds like that guy was just looking for some confirmation.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think that's what happens. Even when we want to make the wrong decision, we want people to agree with that wrong decision, right?
That's right. And the same guy years ago came, and once again, hold on.
Years ago he came and had another choice for another job. And this job that he would have taken, I mean, he went through the interview process, everything. And it was and I'm telling him, hey, I really feel this is a great opportunity. His wife told him the same thing. And he didn't take it. And from that point on, you know, it's like everything, you know, at the job that he remained in was miserable and falling apart. And it's, my God, you know, I can't wait to retire and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking, you had that opportunity. And, you know. And people told him, and his, like I said, his own wife. So, you know, you're in agreement with your wife. That's the person, a lot of times, the closest one with you. And a lot of other people told him, this is a great opportunity, but he was just hesitant to take that step.
One of the, I think one of the characteristics of wisdom is to not make a decision emotionally.
Yes.
I think if you take emotion out of it, any desire that you have, and trust in God. And I think the biggest problem as a body of Christ that we struggle with is that we are always too ready to make the decision before we hear from God. Or he's not coming fast enough, so we make the decision for him. I think that we've got to get to a place where we can relax and be in place so that we can test God and recognize that we are actually walking in his spirit, you know.
Thank you, John. I got to open my big mouth again. this year, when I had the kids practicing all winter, I had a group of kids that were young that were trying out for a softball team. So there was about 15 or so, you know. And usually I have a cut because you only want to keep maybe 13 to 15 at the most. But these kids were diligent. They came, you know, they did everything they were supposed to do. And it was a good group of kids. And I'm losing girls next year. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got to start training some kids to fill some roles. So it came to the cut date. And I'm like, God, I just don't want to cut these kids. They put in the time, and they don't have the ability yet. But so I'm like praying, God, what do I do? What do I do? You know, I'm seeking wisdom. And then I thought, and there were things that were happening that enabled me to make this decision, because I'm always praying, God, give me more influence. Don't pray that prayer, okay? Take it from me. So I'm like, well, you know what? I've got enough girls. I can do like a JV team. And I'm thinking, you know, there's more girls. They put in the time, you know, blah, 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 blah. The influence and spreading the gospel more. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. But all these doors opened. There was extra finances that came in. There was all these things that came in. And I just looked and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay? I'm just taking that step in faith. And everything began to fall in line. And it was incredible what began to happen. And so I called one of the coaches. I said, hey, I'm trying to, you know, backpedal a little bit to not have as much responsibility. Now I'm making more work for us. And he just kind of laughed. He said, yeah, when, you know, we started this thing out, I mean, we were lucky we had 10, 11 girls. Now we had 40. And, you know, and it's just incredible, the influence. And I look at that, you know, God, you've provided. Yeah, it's going to be more work, but we're going to take that on and see what happens. And so far it's been really, really good. But that was one of those points I was at. I was like, Lord, I don't know. But these doors kept open. I go, okay, God, I see you're wanting to expand. And what we've been talking about this year, if you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. And it wasn't because I wanted to do it, trust me. You know, it's like I was happy with the small group I had. But it's like, hey, it's a year of increase. It's a year of expanding the net and in the border. So don't be afraid to take it. Yeah, you're going to get more work. You're going to have more headaches. But if it's for the kingdom, it's always worth it.
I'm going to close
when you
with
said that last week. I definitely, Pastor Don, felt that was God. That was an open door. Mainly because if not, you would be shutting doors on girls, and he doesn't want that. And there's going to be some parents of the new girls coming in that's going to help you out.
I was doing okay until Pastor Don got here. I only got halfway through wisdom, but I'm going to finish with this scripture because it goes along with what you said. It says, I stated, it's having supernatural perspective from God's point of view. It is also recognizing our own limitations. In Ecclesiastes 1:16-18, Solomon is speaking here, and he says, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who's ever ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly, but I learned that this too is as chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, and more knowledge the more grief. So, you know, you just realize that, you know, we're going to seek after something that actually puts more of a burden on us, but our willingness and the reason for the desire is because we want to edify the church. We want to be able to be clear in our understanding of what God is speaking when we speak to somebody else. It's important. And we can all be encouraged from time to time, but when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, it's your responsibility to study, to understand, to learn these things so that this church can be a powerful example of what we need to be, full of wisdom and these other spirits that I'll get to someday, gifts, I should say. But something that we can do, that we can be a beacon to this community and to this world. I mean, I don't think we stop here because the Spirit of God will draw people in.
Yes.
All right, amen.
Would you like to close, John?
Pastor Don.
All right. Pastor Don. Yeah,
I know he was biting at the bit there.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the teaching today, and we thank you, Lord, that you've opened doors of opportunity for us, and Lord, you've equipped us, and Lord, even when we feel inadequate, you're still there, and you're able to do abundantly more than we can think or even ask. And we pray right now, Lord, as we head down, that you do abundantly more in the worship service, that we come before you, Lord, offering all that we have, and we give it to you freely and joyfully and with no regrets. And Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.